completely different. What I did this morning, I preached this morning on what's on your shopping list. And if you didn't get that message, you ought to get it tonight. Give me up just a hair, brother. I want to start out Hebrews chapter number 4. And we'll look at a very, very, very well-known verse of Scripture, verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. And you pray for me as I bring the message here from the Word of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, see that, to help in time of need. I want to preach tonight on the subject, faces of grace. Faces of grace. Tonight, I want us to look again at how good God's grace is. There's two words that ought to make a Christian shout every time they hear them. One of them is grace, and the other one is the blood.
Right.
When you hear somebody talking about the blood, you ought to say, hallelujah. That's between me and hell. And when you hear about somebody talking about God's grace, you say, glory to God, if it wasn't for His grace, I'd be on my way to hell or already there. The word grace is over 160 times, over near 170 in the Bible. Somebody said G-R-A-C-E stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a pretty good definition of the word grace. However, great men down through the years have tried to define grace. I've heard it defined different ways. I don't know if anybody has ever got it just right, but I'll give you a few. Dr. R.E. Naber said many years ago, grace is the immeasurable and unmerited favor of God. Another man, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, grace is something in God that is at the heart of all His redeeming activities. John Calvin said, grace is the pure liberality of God. C.I. Scofield, I believe, had the most well-known and respected definition of the word grace among Baptists, as myself, Bible believers, when he said this. He summed up the word grace and he said, grace is the unmerited, unrecompensed favor of God. That means He gives you something you did not earn, you did not deserve, but He gives it to you anyway with nothing expected in return.
Yeah.
Now that will make you shout if that ever gets a hold of you just right. If it ever gets a hold of you just right, what God did for you when He shed His amazing grace on you, then brother, you'll quit your whining really, really quick. Thank God for grace. We're going to look at it tonight and just for a little while, and I believe it'll be a help to you. I said the man, John Newton, many years ago, back in late 1700s, was coming from England, and he grew up wicked, and he's out on a ship, a slave trade ship, as a matter of fact, and John Newton was a very, very wicked man, and somebody got the gospel to him, and he in a storm, he got saved by the grace of God. He pastored churches, wrote 200 hymns, and one of them was Amazing Grace. Nobody could ever describe that word any better than just amazing. It's amazing how that God, in His grace, could love somebody like us and do for us what we could not and would not do for ourselves. Now tonight, I want to look at several things about it. I'll be brief so you listen carefully. I want to talk first of all about sovereign grace. The Bible said there that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. I heard about many years ago this young man, and you heard me tell this story. He's a wicked man, and he come to the end of his rope, and he's just about to take a gun and commit suicide. And he said, I don't want to do it down here around the house. So he walked down in the woods and went down to the river. And he walked down there to the river and he was going to take a gun and end his life. I've heard several stories like that. And he got down there to that river and he's looking at that gun, getting ready to put it to his head. And off in the distance, he heard some singing. And he heard this music saying, he said, that's an unusual sound. And he got just a little closer and went a little closer. And off in the distance there's some Christians having a cottage prayer meeting. And they got this cottage prayer meeting together and there's a bunch of people in there singing. And it drew him. Something was pulling him. Something was pulling on him. And he kept going a little closer. And he kept going a little closer. Kept going a little closer. And listen, I remember that night when that happened to me. When I went into Nebo Baptist Church, I kept going a little closer and a little closer. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember when God was dealing with you and there was something pulling on you? You didn't deserve that. God could have left you alone, let you went to hell. But he's kept pulling on you and pulling on you. And that old boy said he went over there. He heard these Christians singing about the Lord. And he went in and the grace of God touched him. And he got born again, got saved right then and there. You know what that is? Sovereign grace. I'm glad that God's grace, it can reach the lowliest sinner. I'm the lowest sinner like me and like you. You think about that night or that day or whenever it was when the grace of God came where you were and you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, you didn't pay for it, but the grace of God come and saved you by amazing grace. I want to talk secondly about saving grace. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, they say a lock, like a deadbolt or a lock will close by itself, but cannot be opened without a key. So a sinner gets his own self into a mess, but he can't get out without God's grace. Amen. They say one time, if a man works and gets something, it's a wage. If he competes and gets something, it's a prize. If he gets something for service, it's an award. But when he can say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, contribute nothing, and gets it anyway, that's grace. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, that night I come and got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, I came down that night. I was on my way to hell. I said like that old song, I didn't know the words of that song, but in my heart, glory to God, I said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I bring. And God up in heaven looked down and said, there's little old Danny. I just give him a dose of grace and shot it down my soul. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm telling you what, hallelujah, I've never been the same since. I never will. Thank God for grace. It's amazing tonight. Hallelujah, that's saving grace. Lord have mercy. If I don't shut up, I'm going to shout. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it is grace. It is grace. It is grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen. I want to talk thirdly tonight about schooling grace. Schooling grace. You say, what's that? It's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, 13. It said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, you know what that is? That's a face of grace we call schooling grace. You young people get this real good. Everybody listen to me. Because when all of my generation of preachers are gone, this new generation of preachers ain't preaching this. There's a strange flavor of preaching coming across the railways and TV now, that the grace of God just takes care of everything and you can't be perfect, so there ain't no use in even trying to do right. Now I'm going to tell you, that's not Bible doctrine. It's a false doctrine. Somebody said, but we're saved by grace. I know that. And the first thing grace will do when he does a work in your heart will tell you to live right act right, do right, convict you of your sin. I'm telling you, if there's no conviction of sin in your heart, you don't know the grace of God. I know we're saved by grace. It's not our work. But I tell you one thing. If God's grace ever gets down in you, you're going to know when you're doing something wrong. He'll get a hold of you when you're doing something wrong. I'm a little bit aggravated. Now listen, you never seen nobody believes in grace no more than I do. But I'm aggravated with this outfit going around preaching that, well, since we're saved by grace, it really don't matter how you live. I mean, you know, everybody mess up once in a while, so just go ahead and do whatever. That is, the Bible said the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Listen, you really get right with God, you don't even have to ask somebody what's right and wrong.
You're right.
Something inside you. I remember my preacher, I was going places I shouldn't go, and I went to my pastor and asked him, do you think I ought to quit going there? And I wanted him to say, yes, Danny said, but he wouldn't. He's afraid he'd offend me. He sort of beat around the bush a little bit, and the grace of God was telling me, listen, if the grace of God's working in you just right, and you go to a place where you're not supposed to go, there'll be something inside you say, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. Nod your little heads and say amen. Now, if that don't happen to you, there's something bad wrong on the inside of you. Now, I tell you tonight, there's something wrong with all these Hollywood people that are all saved and yet stay in the same lifestyle. I mean, you don't get saved by the grace of God and still live in sin all the time and live like the devil. That ain't grace. That's a disgrace. Grace of God. I know we ain't perfect, and I don't claim to be. But I tell you what, the grace of God will jerk you up. I heard a preacher say on the radio this morning, he's dead and gone now. He said this morning, he said if the grace of God ever works in you just right, your pastor won't have to come and drag your head out of a hell hole every Friday night. Amen. The grace of God will teach you to deny and y'all. Listen, you might fall. The devil might get you messed up, but there's something down in there saying, get out of this. Get out of this. This ain't right. Get out of this. This ain't right. You know, they say you can take an old hog and you can take that hog down here and you can clean that thing up, take him to the car wash and spray him down and get you a bucket of soapy old water. Take a brush and scrub that old hog down. You'll have to hold him because hogs don't like to take a bath. They like to stay dirty. And boy, you'll have to scrub him down and put baby powder on him and squirt him down. That was the latest in women's or men's fragrance. And make him smell real good. Tie a pretty bow around his neck and go over to your neighbor and say, I got the cleanest hog in town. But by the time your neighbor comes over to see him, he'll be right back wallowing in the mud. He'll be wallowing around in the mud hole. You know why? It's the nature of a hog. It's the nature of a hog, ladies and gentlemen, to waller in the mud. But they say you can take a little old sheep and you take that sheep down here and you can push him in the mud and that sheep will go like this and like that and like that. It don't feel comfortable because he knows it is not the nature of a sheep. The devil might get you in the mud. The devil might throw you in the mud, but there'll be something down here saying, I ain't staying in this. This ain't for me. I'm getting out of this. Yeah, right. I want it. There's something inside of every saved person that'll teach you to get out of sin. Say amen right there. Can you hear me? Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're saved and you're living in sin, you're shacking up, you're drinking liquor, you're lying, you're stealing, you're doing drugs, there's something down inside saying, this ain't right. 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 And you ain't never going to have no peace till you get your heart right with God. That's schooling grace. Let me say number four. Sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. These words were spoken to the Apostle Paul as he was complaining about his thorn in the flesh. And Paul, through his sickness or whatever it was, and temptation or whatever it was, come to the Lord, and he said, Lord, they went down there and they had a prayer meeting. Anybody got any requests? Paul raised his hand. Yes, sir, Paul. Would everybody pray God will take this thorn out of my flesh? Now, we understand the thorn of his flesh was not something off of a rose bush somewhere actually stuck in it. That was a symbolic phrase that he used to represent something that stuck in his life that drove him crazy. Personally, I think he had some kind of temptation. He said, my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not. And he said, it was the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. What he said? I don't see how bad eyesight could be the messenger of Satan.
You're right.
That's what them preachers say. But anyway, whatever it was, Paul said, it's driving me crazy. The next week, anybody got a prayer request? Paul said, I have one. What is it, Paul? Would y'all pray the Lord to take this thorn out? I thought you prayed that last. I did. And God didn't answer your prayers, the Apostle Paul. You can send handkerchiefs to people and they'll get healed. You raise somebody from the dead. Why didn't God answer? I don't know, boy. Are you backslid? I don't reckon I ain't doing nothing on purpose that I ain't supposed to be. Paul! But anyway, it's still there. Would you pray? Well, next Saturday night they prayed again. Anybody got any requests? Paul said, would y'all pray the Lord take this thorn out of my flesh? They said, Paul! We better pray for Paul. I mean, he only wrote half the New Testament. And he was, he was seeing the Lord on the road to Damascus, but he couldn't get that thorn out. And you know why he couldn't get that thorn out? Same reason me and you don't get ours out. He said you'd get the big head and start thinking you was better than everybody else. If I took your thorn out and you was perfect, you'd get exalted above measure and start looking down. I'm just going to leave it in, Paul. Paul said, but them preachers on TV said if I claimed it, I could get anything. And the Lord said, that's what you get for listening to crazy people like that. He said, I'm leaving it in. That what the book said? I'm leaving it in. That don't sound good. We don't want the Lord to leave it in. But Lord, listen, I know preachers all over this country, and I'm one of them. They'll say, if it hadn't have been for this, I could have done something for God. If it hadn't have been for that, I could have done something for God. Well, guess what? That is what keeps you humble so that God can use you and God can bless you. As Dr. Ruckman says, every dog got just enough fleas to remind him he's still a dog.
Right.
And if you meet these people that give you the impression that I'm perfect and I'm around, they're just hiding their fleas. They got them. They got them. I know people I never heard. I know people I was a pastor 20 years and never one time heard them say I was wrong or I'm sorry or I messed up. Listen, there ain't no such a thing as that.
Right.
The Apostle Paul said, God, Lord, would you help me? And you know what God said? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, you're an educated man. And you're a spiritual little bugger too. And if I pulled that thorn out, you'd get to thinking you was hot stuff and you wouldn't even pray and need me. I think I'm just going to leave it in so that you'll know that the power is mine and not yours. And Paul said, whatever you say, Lord. And he said, nevertheless, I'll glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, there's been times in my life when I thought I was strong and really, really had God, and I don't remember that doing nothing when I was in that shape. And I remember preaching a few times when I was so hurt and tore up that I don't remember hardly a word I said. And somebody come up and say, that's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. I said, what? I really preached a good one the other week. That really good one I preached the other week didn't help nobody. You know why? It was me. But when you're at the end of yourself and you're out and you think, Lord, I'm nothing, when you're weak, thank God, that's when he's strong.
Right.
Boy, Oh, we got a generation of Christians need to learn that right there. We're living in this day of Christian celebrities. Oh, here's the great soul, whatever. Here's the great big blob of sin. Let's bring him home. Amen. Here's the great hypocrite. Get her out here. All right, listen, brother. He said, my grace is sufficient. You know what that is? That's sufficient grace. Let me say hurriedly tonight, I want to talk about sustaining grace. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us, the Bible said, and give us a holy calling with the grace of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he'll sustain you. Listen, he'll sustain you through divorce. He'll sustain you through heartache. He'll sustain you through prison. He'll sustain you through time when you got messed up on drugs, when you got messed up in sin, when you went through a hard time, went through cancer, as Brother Wayne, as Brother Jeremy went through this trial. He'll sustain you. That's grace right there, buddy. There'll be times in your Christian life, Jimmy, when you're going to say, Lord, are you still there? Y'all remember the first time you felt like, where you at, God? I used to feel you all over me, and now I can't even feel you. Boy, you're getting good when you get like that. Because it ain't you, it's him. Old Ralph Sexton Sr., one time years ago, you know what he said? Great preacher, old Ralph Sr., he said he went 7 years one time and never felt God's presence. Not one time. 7 years. Preached every Sunday and never felt God. And he said he's in the prayer room one night and it's pitch dark. And he said he got down like this and he said somebody touched him like that. I said, Ralph. And he turned around and there wasn't nobody there. And he said, God's presence come back. And he said he never left him again after that. God, he said he withdrew from me 7 years. I don't know about all that, but I'll tell you one thing. God, listen, sometimes you feel like you just got to go by yourself. Sometimes you feel like I'm carrying my whole family. I'm doing it all. I'm the only one trying to live right, the whole family. God, you're going to thank God there's sustaining grace.
Right.
Mama, hang in there. You sorry backslid husband, maybe pulling the kids, taking them to a worldly event instead of church. You sorry good-for-nothing wife, maybe making them watch dirt, letting them watch dirty movies and date every boy that walks in the door, and you're a man trying to live right. You just hang in there. I'm preaching about sustaining grace. I ain't got time to tell you. I'll never forget one night I was going through a really, 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 really bad time. I've had a bunch of them nights. And I remember coming back, we was building a church up there in Marion. And I come back from preaching somewhere, I don't know where I was at. But I was driving, it was about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd stop every night to see what the guys got done working. Pull in, look, I've done that here. When I preach off down in Gastonia or Charlotte, and there's work going on here, I'd stop and come in here and just look around. I remember that night when they put these ceiling grids up, them little things, whatever, them tracks or whatever, them ceiling dropped in. I come over here and there wasn't no power and it's pitch dark. And I tried to shine my headlights in there and everything. I was just wanting to look and see. Well, I walked in up there one night. And oh, my heart was heavy. And Lord, I thought, God, all this responsibility is on me. God, I can make it. And I'm going to let you down. And I'm going to make a bad testimony for you in front of this whole town. God, I'm going to let you down. And God, all of a sudden, I started singing a song. And I said, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. And boys, like the Lord said, don't you worry about it, son. He said, you can't make the sun come up. You can't make the stars shine. You can't make people live right. You can't even keep yourself alive. I'm the one that's doing all of that, and I will sustain you. That's sustaining grace. And all these many years later, by His grace, I'm still standing here tonight by sustaining grace. I don't stand here because I'm strong. I'm not. I'm weak. I don't stand here because I have willpower. I stand here by the grace of God. And you sit there tonight by the grace of God. Shout thanks of God for sustaining grace. Hallelujah, I'm happy for it tonight. Amen. Number six, supplying grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 said, God is able to make all grace abound to you. You say, well, what about when I'm dying? I heard a man say one time, he said, I thought I was going to have grace to face a roaring lion. I say, man, if a roaring lion was here, I'd be scared to death. I ain't got grace to face no roaring lion. And the guy said, because there ain't no roaring lion in here. Ain't no use in God giving you a roaring lion grace if ain't no roaring lion in here. Somebody said, I don't think I got dying grace, preacher. You ain't dying, duh. But I believe when it comes time to die, there'll be dying grace. I've got preaching grace right now. I have living grace today. I've got sleeping grace tonight. I've got believing grace tonight and supply grace. I believe when it comes time for me to die, I'll say, all right, Lord, I'm coming home. Dying grace. That's supplying. Amen. That's supplying grace. That's right. The old song said, grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Lastly, and I'm through, surpassing grace. Surpassing grace. Ephesians 2:7. He said that in the ages to come, he might show the grace of God up in our... Listen, old John Newton, when I told you about a minute ago, he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be surprised at three things. You listen? He said, number one, I'll be surprised because there's going to be a lot of people there that I didn't think would make it. And he said, I'll be surprised, number two, there'll be a lot of people missing that I thought was going to be there. And he said, number three, I'll be most surprised that I'm there, that I don't deserve it, and I'm in heaven. How do you think you're going to feel when you first walk in heaven? You're going to think, oh my goodness, here's little old me. I know I don't deserve this. And there's Abraham and all them people, and the apostles, and there's the Lord. Whoa! Lord have mercy, I don't deserve. Have you ever been around people you thought, good night, I don't deserve to be around big shots like you. Buddy, we're going to the big shots. I'm telling you what, buddy, we won't walk in there. I'm telling you that's surpassing grace. Amen. I'm going to say this and I'm through. An old preacher one time, he said this. He said, when I come to die, he said, I'm casting all my good works overboard. And I'm casting all my bad works overboard. And I'm depending on God's grace to take me on through. That's surpassing grace. I'm thankful for God's grace. They said years ago, Queen Elizabeth pardoned a lady who tried to assassinate her. Woman tried to assassinate the queen. And she, like the president can do, issued a pardon. And that woman, overwhelmed with her generosity and kindness, came and fell at her feet and promised, I'll serve you forever for what you've done for me. That's exactly what God done for us. We were guilty and on our road to hell, people. And he wiped our slate clean and pardoned us. And we fell at his feet saying, I'll serve you for the rest of my life for what you've done for me. I ain't preaching tonight trying to get to heaven. Lord, I don't preach enough, good enough. I don't get a haircut and wear a tie and carry a Bible because I'm trying to get good enough to go to heaven. I'm doing it because I'm on my way to heaven and I love him and I want to please him. Let's stand. Thank God for faces of grace. Every head bowed, every eye closed, they're coming to the instruments. Tonight, I believe there's somebody here tonight that needs a good, old-fashioned dose of grace. You're living under condemnation. You're living in misery. The devil's jumped on you with both feet. And you need a good dose of the grace of God. Amen. Come on, let's just get out of our seats tonight. Get around this altar and say, Lord, we can come boldly, come on, boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. That's right. Come on. Come on, just get out of your seat. Mama, daddy, young person, teenager, boy or girl, let's get in this altar now. While we're not going to sing, just going to have a few verses of this song and we'll pray and go. Amen. Come on.